We're going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 this morning, and I'm going to warn you, it's another dangerous morning. I really don't have any notes in front of me. All I've got is the slides. We'll find out. I sure hope so. If I start chasing rabbits, pray I'll get back on track, okay? The last one that I shared from Pastor Vistein, it's not if you will bow before God, it's when will you bow before God. 1 Peter chapter 2, again, verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from simple desires which war against your soul. Title of my message this morning is, my broker is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says... Now, how many of you are old enough to remember those old commercials from E.F. Hutton? Let me ask, how many of you, raise a hand if you have no idea who E.F. Hutton was? E.F. Hutton was a very major brokerage firm back probably in the, well, when I was growing up, 70s and 80s, even through the 90s. And their commercials on TV were really neat because you'd have two people in a grocery store or two businessmen sitting at lunch or somewhere in a crowded area with all this noise, and they'd be talking, and one of them would say, you know, I just don't get it. My portfolio is not doing well. My finances are in the tank. How come you're doing so well? And the guy would say, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and about that moment, everything would go silent, and everybody would lean in. Because E.F. Hutton was, the whole deal was, if E.F. Hutton says it, it must be good advice. Well, this morning, the title is, My Broker is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, last week, we talked about the fact that we are not citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I had this up there. Go to the next slide there, son. Oh, I forgot. I wanted us to do this. I want you to stand and take your Bible before we go into the Word. I don't want this to become routine, but I want us to really become, I want us to grasp this because I think we have a generation of people today that do not understand fully how important the Word of God is. So say this with me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. And my heart is receptive. And I will never be the same again. Never, never, never. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you something. As we see things happening in our world today, we need to realize how important this Word of God is. Amen. All right, last week in the message on citizenship being in heaven, I put this up there. I said, citizenship, and I gave you this definition. That definition says it is the state of being vested with the rights, privileges, and duties of a legally recognized subject of a state or commonwealth. And all week, I wanted to move on to the next part of our text, verse 12, but God wouldn't let me. Charlie, all week long, no matter what I was doing, I kept having this word come back to me, vested, vested, vested. And I was like, okay, God, I get it. You're playing that word over and over in my mind, but why is it so important? And he kind of came back and said, because some of the people didn't understand it. And it's an important word. Folks, let me tell you something. If we're going to get into the Word of God, we got to be willing to expand. Okay? So I said, all right, God, I get it. You want me to talk about being vested in the kingdom of God? And he said, well, that's only part of it. So I said, all right, what does it mean to be vested? And here's what I came up with. Being vested is a secured possession of something that cannot be taken away by a third party. I was like, okay, God, all right. So being vested means that it is a secured possession of something that cannot be taken away by a third party. And the only thing I could come up with, my wife and I, we both have retirement accounts. Not a lot there. As a matter of fact, if my wife and I retired right now, we have figured out we could probably live about 9 months on what's in our retirement accounts. Yeah, about 9 months. Granted, I'd have to go on a diet, but. But every time we get a report on those retirement accounts, as we look down through there, there is a balance that's in our account, but then they also show something called a vested amount. And what that vested amount says, it says if you try to take this money out right now, this is all that is really yours because there's rules that say you have to wait so long. Does that make sense? When you are vested in something, it means that you have put in the required amount of resource and the required amount of time so that you have full possession of it. And I said, okay, all right, Lord, you showed me what the word vested means. It's a pretty technical term. It's kind of a deep thought. So what? How many of you ever studied the Word of God and read something in there and kind of said, okay, God, so what? What does that have to do with me? Well, then the Lord began to deal with me and he said, well, the word vested is also part of another word that's important, and that word is this. It's investment. I said, okay, what is an investment? Yeah, those colors are a little faded out. One of these days, I tell you what, folks, you pray that when that projector goes out, we'll have the money to replace it with a big TV and it'll be a whole lot clearer to read, okay? Or if you want to give me the money today to get the TV, we'll abandon the projector. I'll use it somewhere else. We'll give it to another church. An investment is placing something of value or worth into something greater with the desire and goal of future reward and benefit. Now, most of us, when we think of investments, we think in terms of what? Money. You know, I get kind of frustrated with my savings account at the bank because it seems like it just never grows that much. But Charlie, the truth is, I don't invest enough into it to make the growth larger. I've got me some athletes here. I've got three athletes sitting here. Got a runner. We got a football, basketball, baseball player. We got you run and you golf and what else? Basketball. We got a young lady back here, varsity volleyball player, be a varsity basketball player. How do you get better at your sports? What do you give? You invest yourself and your time and your energy into doing what? Practicing. Why? So that when you get step on the court or the field or the course, you will be better. You don't become better at that unless you invest the time. I got a musician sitting back here. How do you get better on your instrument? You invest your time and energy into practice. How many of you like to sew? You're into being a seamstress or quilting or crocheting or knitting, any of those things. How do you get better? You invest time in practicing, in taking lessons, in asking questions of others. Friends, can I tell you something? What we need to understand is anything in life that we desire to have, we will only get it if we invest something into it. How many of you would like to get more out of church? Then you need to start investing something into every service. You need to walk through the door of this church building every Sunday morning, having already spent time during the week praying for this church service. I've heard it said this way for many years. You only get out of something what you put into it. So an investment. Folks, some of you do not have a very strong walk with God because you never invest anything into your walk. Now you're being awfully quiet. Investing. Placing something of value or worth into something greater with the desire and goal of future reward and benefit. If we're wanting to be citizens of the kingdom of God instead of just citizens of this world, we must learn to begin to invest something into the kingdom of God so that we can get the blessing in return that God wants to give us. Folks, let me tell you something. God is not going to pour blessings into your life if all you do is sit back and do nothing. Now, here is a truth that every one of you need to understand, that I need to understand. Every day of your life, you are investing in something. Every word you say, every deed you do, every thought you have is investing a part of you into something, and it's time we start being diligent to make sure that we are investing ourselves into the kingdom of God, because the only other option, I don't care what name it may have, if you're not investing into the kingdom of God, you're investing into the kingdom of Satan. Now, here's the difference. The kingdom of God is just under one banner, kingdom of God. That's it. He doesn't try to hide it, disguise it, or make it mysterious. Whereas the kingdom of Satan has all kinds of pretty names called wealth, fame, fortune, sexual pleasure, sexual, all of these things. Satan puts all these pretty names on it and all these pretty ribbons and bows, but the reality of it is when you strip all that away, it's simply the kingdom of Satan. Investment. We have got to learn to place the something of value and worth, which is ourselves and our lives, into something greater, which is the kingdom of God. And the desire and goal is that one day we will get a great reward or benefit called living with Him for eternity in heaven. But here's the neat thing about it. God loves us so much that as we begin to invest into His kingdom here and now, He gives us blessings and returns that we don't have to wait for. That's why I ask you every time we come together for Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study, especially, why I ask you, does anybody have a praise report? What I'm really saying is, as you have invested into the kingdom of God this week, what reward in return has God given you back? And you know what? I have discovered this. Now, I'm not going to tell you I bat 1,000 with this because I struggle with it some days just like you do. But guess what? No matter how much I invest into the kingdom of God, the return and blessing He gives me is always greater. Amen. Always. Always. Here's a key. The more complicated life becomes, the more, and that should say my faith, I'm sorry, the more my faith walk must become simplified. I want you to think about that a moment. The more complicated life becomes around us, the more simplified our faith walk must become. And I say that this morning because what I'm going to share with you about how to invest into the kingdom of God is nothing new or earth-shattering. Most of it is very well-known passages of Scripture, but I'm going to tell you something. We have gone through the cycles in my lifetime in the church where we tried to get cute. We tried to get overcomplicated. We tried to get nuts. Now listen to me. Our faith walk must become simplified. And here's the thing. As we simplify our faith walk, the deeper in Him we will go. Amen. One of the things that so bothers me about what I see in the church world in general is that so many times we want people to have these broad, wide spiritual experiences. Well, the problem is whenever it gets broad and wide, it's only about an inch deep. You know what? I'd rather you stick within about a 1 foot margin and go miles deep in Him. Amen. Simplified means deeper in Him, not more complicated. So let me show you this morning some of the ways that we need to daily and weekly and monthly and annually invest into the kingdom of God, because that's where our citizenship is. And I don't know about you, I want to invest as much of myself into the kingdom of God so that I have a vested interest in possessing the kingdom of God, because that's where I want to spend eternity, and I want it in its fullness. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Here's the first one. Philippians 3:20 verse 8, just as a reminder from last week, reminds us, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. So the first thing we find is in Matthew 6:21, and we talked about this verse a little bit last week, but I want to start there. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, let me give you an example that came to mind. I'm going to do it this way. Doug, what is your favorite brand of vehicle? If you could own any pickup in the world that you wanted, you would want a Chevy. General Motors and Chevy. Okay? If I suddenly had an extra $10,000, and I decided I wanted to invest in vehicles, a vehicle company, and I decided, you know what, Doug gave me a great tip here, and I think Chevy is just about to go huge. I'm going to invest $10,000 and get $10,000 worth of Chevy stock, specifically Chevy trucks, okay? Now, if I put my $10,000 investment into Chevy trucks, what kind of pickup do you think I'm going to go over to Amarillo and buy for myself to drive? Chevy. And what kind of a truck am I going to suggest to Treva when she needs to buy when she looks for a new truck? Chevy. And if I'm going to come here and Connie says, you know, I think I'm going to go buy Dale a new pickup because God just blessed her with, you know, $500,000, and she paid her tithe faithfully. What kind of truck am I going to suggest she buy, Dale? A Chevy. Why? Because where my treasure is, Chevy stock, my heart's going to be. Wouldn't it be silly of me, Ron, to invest $10,000 in Chevy stock and go drive a Ford? See, here's the problem, folks. Some of us, we're not investing enough in the kingdom of God, and then we wonder why we can't get excited about what God's doing, because our treasure's not being put there, our heart's not there. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If you will begin to take the resources that God has given you, and please, I'm not talking about money only. I want you to get beyond money. I'm talking about your talent. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your energy. I'm talking about your creativity. I'm talking about everything you do, even at school, even on the job. When you're doing the job correctly, when you're doing school correctly and being respectful, you can still be investing into the kingdom of God because you do it as unto the Lord. Start to put your treasure into the kingdom of God. Invest it all into the kingdom of God, and then your heart will follow. Because I can tell you right now, I go invest $10,000 in Chevy trucks. I can tell you right now, I'm going to go around town and I'm going to be trying to convince everybody in town they need to go buy a Chevy truck. Why? Because I want a return on my $10,000 investment. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. It's called the Great Commandment and the Second Commandment. Jesus replied and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can I tell you, we sometimes read that and we gloss over that, but I want us to take a couple of minutes and look at this. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your, what? Heart, soul, and mind. Friends, you've got to learn to start loving God with everything you are. Amen. You cannot say, you know what, I'm going to love God with my heart, but I'm going to let my mind dwell on garbage. I'm going to love the Lord God with my soul, but I'm going to love those things that I know God's not crazy about, but it's okay, He'll forgive me. All. Some of us are struggling in our faith walk because we want to invest a few pennies in the kingdom of God and invest everything else somewhere else, but then we want God to reward us as though we've given Him all. God will not reward you with all blessings if you're not giving Him all love. Let that one sink in a minute. Now let's go back to my illustration of investing in Chevy trucks. Let's say I had that $10,000 to invest in Chevy trucks, and I went and talked to a broker at the Chevy company. I said, look, what would my return be on $10,000 worth of stocks? And if he was to say, well, for every $1,000 you invest, you'll probably end up making another an additional, you'll get your $1,000 back plus $500. So I'm sitting here going, well, $10,000. And then all, wow, that'd be pretty good. I invest $10,000 and I get my $10,000 back in a year plus $5,000. That's pretty good. But what if I were to tell him, I want to invest $1,000 with you, but I still want you to return it to me as though I'd given you $10,000. What's he going to say? He's going to laugh at me and tell me, you're crazy. You invest $1,000, you only get a return on $1,000. You want the $10,000 benefit, you've got to give the $10,000. Folks, some of us, we're wanting God to bless us with all the blessings of heaven, and we're tossing him a couple of pennies worth of ourselves. You get it? If you want the promises and blessings of God that he says in the Word are available to us, you've got to invest yourself to the point of being able to get that much return. You can't just kind of say, God, I'll see you on Sundays, but I'm going to do my own thing Mondays through Saturday, and to think that he's going to bless you with a 7 days worth of blessing. It doesn't work that way. Love the Lord your God with all you have. But here's the other thing. You want to invest more into the kingdom of God? Look what the second great commandment is. What does it say? It says to love others, your neighbor, as yourself. Did you know that when you show kindness? Patricia talked about that she went out to lunch with a friend yesterday and saw a lady that reminded her of somebody. And the Lord told her, says, go over and talk to that lady. So Trisha got up and walked across the restaurant, and I don't know if she sat or stood, I don't know, but did you stand or sit? You sat. So she sat down there. Can I tell you, the minute the Lord spoke to her and said, go talk to the lady, Patricia had a choice to make. Do I invest in myself and say, oh no, I couldn't do that? Or do I invest in the kingdom of God and be obedient? She walked over, she said, I'm going to invest in the kingdom of God. And she sat down. Oh, guess what? You just invested in the kingdom of God, you'll get a return. Then she took it a step further. Not only did she talk to the lady, but she felt led to pray for the lady. She could have sat there and said, oh God, I can't do that. In a public setting, I'm too shy to do that. There's no way. And she would have been investing in self. And how many of you know you don't get a real good return when you invest in self? Instead, she felt led to pray, so she said, can I pray for you? Oh, she just invested more into the kingdom of God. You'll get a return on that somewhere down the road. As we begin to reach out to others and we begin to love them with the love of Christ, we're investing in the kingdom of God. We're proving our citizenship is in heaven, not in this world. We're recognizing that we're pilgrims and strangers passing through. We're not planting roots here. Look at the next one. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You want to invest in the kingdom of God? You begin to let others know about the love of Christ. Every time you do something, well, Jesus said it this way, didn't he? He said, even if all you do is give somebody who's thirsty a cup of cold water in my name, guess what? You're investing in the kingdom of God. Any little thing that you do to somebody else to show them the love of Christ, and here this ramps it up. This is, look, follow along with that. Continue to invest in them to help them become more of a part of the family of God and help them to grow in their faith walk. You're investing, and you're going to get a return someday for that. Do you realize that the Great Commission is our number one task as followers of Christ? It is to go out and help people realize that Jesus loves them and to make them disciples, which means they are a follower and a learner of Jesus Christ. That's our number one task. Everything else you do in life, it's just a job. Being a pastor is my calling, but you know what? The church work I do, it's just a job to help my family. My wife, her calling is to be a follower of Christ and make disciples. She works as a nurse to help pay the bills. And the same can be said for the rest of you. Whatever you do in life, that helps pay the bills. Your real calling and your real task in life is to follow the Great Commission. And what's cool is as you invest in those people, you're actually investing in the kingdom of God and you're going to get a great return. Remember, my broker is the Holy Spirit, and he says, this is what he says. Therefore, go, as you just go about your day, See, I wish we could all get more comfortable with this. It's not about cornering people in the store and holding them hostage for 20 or 30 minutes trying to pound the gospel into them. Amen. Okay? All right. How many of you have ever encountered someone like that? Most of us have, right? It's also, I have a relative that's in ministry far away from here. They have somebody in their church that really needs to have a lesson. This person will get ready to leave a store, and this person brags about this. They get ready to leave a store or a restaurant where there's people, and as they're walking out the door, they'll be, "Oh God, be with them, they need Jesus!" And literally, they yell it out as they're walking out the door. They're not investing into the kingdom of God. They're investing in themselves because that makes people look at them. Maybe what you need to do is when you leave the store or the restaurant, what you need to do is you walk out the door, you just need to say, "Lord, bless all of them. They need you. And if there's one I should turn around and go back and talk to, show me right now so that I can invest in the kingdom of God by investing in them." And please, if any of you are ever in the store and I'm there with you and you feel like you need to do that and yell, just act like you don't know me before you do that, okay? Our job is to make disciples. As we go about making disciples, we are investing into the kingdom of God. We are taking something of value and we were placing it in something greater for a future return and reward. Amen? Let's look at the next one. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus is talking to the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, "There is a time that is coming, and it has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." When you learn to worship in spirit and truth, you are investing into the kingdom of God. Now, let me explain briefly what I believe it means to worship in spirit and in truth. Worship means to give to somebody the worth they deserve. Who is more worthy of praise and honor than God? No one. And when I say God, I'm talking Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right? Now, listen. To worship in spirit, part of that is what we do on Sunday mornings. When you worship in song and you get happy and you shout and you raise your hands and you just tell God how much you love him and just let the inner joy that believers should have just come pouring out in some form. That's worshiping in spirit. That's part of it. Worshiping in truth is what we're doing now. When the word is taught, when the word is proclaimed, when the word is read, when the word is meditated upon, when the word is obeyed. Do you realize that when you choose to obey the word of God, that is one of the greatest acts of worship you could ever do? Because when you obey the word, what you're saying is, "Father, I believe what your word says. I trust it completely. Therefore, I will obey it unquestionably." And when you do that, you're investing into the kingdom of God. And you are investing into your own life and the lives of others. Spirit and truth. I've gotten kind of amused through the years of my studies. There are some churches out there that they take what we call the communion table. They actually at times will call it the altar. And they place it front and center. And they take the pulpit where we preach the word from and they put it off to the side. And it's not just for architectural beauty. They believe that what you do at the altar / communion table is more important than the word. Churches like us and the Baptists and a lot of us, we believe that God has said we need to preach the word. We believe that the word takes the center stage and that this is not less important per se, but the word is where it all begins. Can I tell you? If we don't have the word, if we're not standing and obeying the word, the rest of this stuff doesn't mean anything. Okay? I mean, you read through what Paul says to Timothy and Titus in those three little books he wrote to them, and I can tell you, preaching the word is important. preaching the word, sharing the word, teaching the word, discussing the word. That is investing into the kingdom of God by investing in others. So every day, and this was brought to my attention this week, I love this, there are those acts of devotion, such as reading the word, worshiping, singing. They're good, but along with the acts of devotion, we also need to make sure we're living lives of devotion. And when we do the acts of devotion for the right reason, and we live lives of devotion to God, we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And we're investing into the kingdom of God where our true citizenship lies. Next one, please. Here's the payoff. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 34. If you'll allow me to, I'll tell you the story. We won't turn there. You can read it later. It's a familiar story to many of us. It's a story that says a man was about to go on a long journey, and he called his servants to him. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to one he gave 2 talents, and to one he gave 1 talent. Talent, in this case, being a form of money. I want you to look around the room for a moment. What you have sitting here right now, those of you watching online, those that will be listening to this in some other form in the future, can I tell you, what we have here is we have some 5-talent people. We have some two-talent people. We have some 1-talent people. Who knows? Some of you may be really special, and maybe you're a 10-talent person. I don't know. The one thing you never want to do that is so improper, you never compare the amount that the Lord has given you to what he's given somebody else, because you know what? That's all up to him, and he knows best. The deal is you take whatever God has given you. See, that businessman knew his workers. I'm gonna put it in modern day terms, okay? He knew what they could handle. See, whatever your ability and your skill set is and your resources are, God knows what you can handle. And he's given it to you. But what is your task to do with it? Well, the story found there in Matthew 25 says that the man went away on a long journey, and when he came back, he called his servants to him, his workers, and he said, all right, he called the one. He says, I gave you 5 talents. What did you do? He says, I took your 5 talents, sir, and I did what? I invested them, and I got them back along with 5 more. And the master says to him, well done, you have been a good and faithful servant in little things. Now I will put you in charge of many things. You're in charge of these 5 cities that are under my control. Then he calls the man with the 2 talents and he says, I gave you 2 talents. Report to me, what did you do? Now here's the thing. That man could have said, well, you know what, I just didn't do much because I'm as good as that guy, and you gave him 5 and only gave me 2, and I just got upset, and I got my feelings hurt. But notice he didn't do that, did he? Friends, let me tell you something. Stop looking around at your church family and getting upset because somebody has more responsibility than you. You look at it sometimes that they have more privileges than you. No, the truth is, with more privilege comes more responsibility. Can I just be real blunt? If any of you sitting here think you're called to be a pastor, I will try to talk you out of it. Because if I can talk you out of it, you're not called. If I cannot talk you out of it, then I'll believe you're called and I'll help you on your journey. Because I can tell you what, being the pastor is not full of privileges, it's full of responsibility. Same goes with many other ministries in the church, but okay? So he calls the man with the 2 talents. He says, what did you do with what I gave you? He says, sir, you gave me 2 talents. I invested it, and I got your 2 talents back and 2 more. He says what to him? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little thing. I'll make you in charge, put you in charge of a great thing. You get to go be in charge of 4 cities that I now have under my control. Then he called the man who had given the 1 talent to. And we begin to understand why he only gave him one. He says, what did you do with what I gave you? He says, well, I know that you are a harsh man and you're used to making money from things that you don't even hardly put any effort into. You're just that good. And I was afraid, so I hid your one talent in the ground. Here it is. And he says, you are a wicked servant. He says, I'll use your own words against you. You're right, I am a hard man. I am a man who's used to reaping where I did not always sow. So you know what? You're out of here. He says, turns to another servant, says, take the one talent and give it to the man who had the 10 and raised the 10, and let's give him another city because he's faithful. To those who have been given much and who have done much, much more will be given to them. Look, you want God to use you in great and mighty ways and to build the kingdom of God, you got to start out by being faithful in the little things. If you're not willing to invest in going across the street to talk to your neighbor, don't think God's going to send you to speak to thousands in the African continent. If you're not willing to do the little thing around this church property, don't think God's going to suddenly promote you and send you in the Colosseums around America to speak before thousands. Whatever you invest is going to determine on the return you get. Now, here's the beauty of it, though. If you'll take whatever resources God has put in your life, whatever talent, whatever ability, whatever skill, whatever resources, if you'll take it, whatever it is, and you will invest it into the kingdom of God, here's the good news. All of us that do that one day, we will get the ultimate payoff because we will get to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen? And we will get to live out our real citizenship for all eternity. My broker is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, invest in the kingdom of God and you'll never lose out. Amen? Amen? So I want to close this morning by simply asking you this question. What are you investing in? Every day of your life, you're investing in something. So I ask you this morning, what are you investing in? If you've been investing in the wrong things, here's the good news. You can start investing in the kingdom of God right here, right now, today. And it might start with something so simple as taking a few minutes before you leave this building to find a place to pray and say, Father, I'm sorry that I've been investing in a lot of garbage and nonsense. I want to invest my entire self and everything you've given me back into the kingdom of God. And that means when you get to school tomorrow, students, you walk into every class and you don't say, I'm going to do a good job to please that teacher. I'm not even going to do a good job to please mom or dad. I'm going to do a good job to please God, because then you'll be investing into the kingdom of God. When you walk into your job tomorrow, you don't say, I'm going to do a good job to please my boss or my coworkers. I'm going to do a good job to please you, Lord. Therefore, you're investing into the kingdom of God. You don't show up to church to make the pastor feel good. You show up to church because you say, Lord, I know that it's your will that I be part of this family and part of this church, and I come to get taught, I come to get rejuvenated, I come to even invest in the lives of others, and therefore I'm investing in the kingdom of God. So what are you investing in? The Holy Spirit is not just my broker. The Holy Spirit wants to be your broker this morning, and you need to find out what the Holy Spirit says. Amen? I'm going to dismiss you right now, and I want you to find a place to pray. I want you to begin to get your spiritual portfolio in order so that you're investing everything into the kingdom of God, because that's the one thing that will last for eternity. Amen? Find a place, and God bless you.